Long before Hurricane Katrina of 2005, there was the Great Mississippi Flood of 1927. It was a flood that covered 27,000 square miles, killed 246 people, and displaced 700,000 others. And we're students of history here at The Motley Fool, so we wanted to get some historical perspective on Hurricane Katrina and see what we can learn from the Great Flood of 1927. John Barry is a resident of both New Orleans and Washington, D.C., and he's the author of Rising Tide, The Great Mississippi Flood of 1927, and How It Changed America. John Barry, welcome to The Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you.
John, you are a New Orleans resident. We're talking to you in Washington, D.C., so we assume you haven't been back to New Orleans. Is your home underwater?
I live in the French Quarter, and the entire French Quarter escaped.
Mm.
So I have a little bit of survivor guilt on that, to be honest.
Understood. John, let's talk about your book. Again, the title, Rising Tide, The Great Mississippi Flood of 1927 and How It Changed America. For those of us who are history challenged, give us the thumbnail sketch of the Great Mississippi Flood of 1927.
Well, if you think of the Mississippi River, it is not something that just runs north-south from Minnesota to the Gulf. It actually stretches from near Buffalo, New York, to Idaho, from North Carolina to Taos, New Mexico. That's the drainage basin, and almost the entire basin was in flood that year. This flood killed people from Virginia to Oklahoma. It flooded the homes of almost 1% of the entire population of the United States. But the greatest damage was along the lower Mississippi River, where probably a million people were displaced. There are 667,000 people were fed by the Red Cross for months, some for more than a year, and half of them lived in tents for months, a few for a year.
Mm.
And the death toll, actually, the number you cited was a Red Cross figure, but the government has an official death toll of 500, and that's probably an understatement. A professional disaster expert estimated the death in the state of Mississippi alone is over 1,000.
Wow. What caused the flood?
There were two things. Number one, there was an enormous amount of rain that began in August 1926 and just didn't stop. To give you a sense, the Illinois River actually went above flood stage on September 4th, 1926 and didn't fall below flood stage until June 1927. But number two, there was an absolutely idiotic flood control policy that was dictated by Washington and somewhat comparable to events today or a couple weeks ago. People in New Orleans were screaming at the top of their lungs for years in advance of the flood that this policy was a disaster waiting to happen. It happened.
So a natural disaster, which it sounds as if was exacerbated by human error. And perhaps we could say the same thing about what's happened in the past month in New Orleans. Let me ask you this. You've subtitled your book, John, How It Changed America. How did the Great Mississippi Flood of 1927 change America?
Well, actually, there were quite a few ways. First, the narrowest sense, the flood control policy. I mean, all engineers and all rivers in the world changed the way they looked at rivers. They stopped thinking they could dictate to a powerful force any major river and started recognizing they had to find ways to accommodate it. But that's almost the least important change. You can demonstrate with almost mathematical precision that the flood elected Herbert Hoover president of the United States. He was then Secretary of Commerce. He was put in charge of the rescue and rehabilitation of 700,000 people. And he got very positive headlines day after day, week after week, and it created his presidential candidacy. And this was not an accident. James Carville actually, after he read the book, he gave him a call, and he told me quite seriously that Hoover had a better press operation than any politician he knows today. Hoover had earlier said, the world lives by phrases. Before he became Secretary of Commerce, he owned papers in Sacramento and Washington, which he sold when he joined the cabinet. So he's very alert to press relations.
Mm.
So that's of some consequence, but there are three other effects, probably even more important. Number one, it was an enormous spurred a black migration after the out of the South. So hundreds of thousands of blacks left the flooded area, went to Chicago, Detroit, Houston, Los Angeles, and that changed the demographics of the country.
Hmm.
It also changed, the blacks had been very tied to the Republican Party. Lincoln, of course, freed the slaves. Virtually any black who voted or was active politically was a Republican. However, because of what happened in the refugee camps, and because of what black leaders felt was, and was, they were correct, was a personal betrayal and lies that came from Hoover to them, it sort of snapped the emotional connections between African Americans and the Republican Party and freed them and began the erosion to the Democrats. But probably the most important impact of the flood is the most subtle. You know, before the flood, Americans did not believe that government should get involved in individual citizens' lives in any way. But in 1927, there were 700,000 people homeless. In fact, more than that homeless, there were that many being fed by the Red Cross. The federal government had a record surplus in the Treasury, yet did not spend a single federal penny, not a penny, to feed, clothe, or shelter any of these people. And the American people basically sort of, I mean, they seemed to overwhelmingly think this was the wrong thing to do. And it was this sort of watershed moment where people began to think that the federal government did, in fact, have a responsibility for individual citizens.
John, in your opinion, does rebuilding New Orleans mean that we're going to keep on fighting Mother Nature, or is there some smarter way to do it?
Well, you know, if there's an earthquake in Los Angeles, are we going to move Los Angeles or San Francisco? I think it makes sense to rebuild New Orleans for a lot of reasons. Number one, some of the problems can be solved. One of the things that makes the city so vulnerable and which the rest of the country benefits from is the oil and gas production that is, you know, they've driven canals or made canals, pipelines, shipping outlets in what used to be marshland. And the unintended consequence of that has been a massive erosion of coastal marsh. And this marsh has always served as a major buffer for hurricanes to protect the city from hurricanes and absorb storm surge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a football field size chunk of land melts into the ocean every 15 to 20 minutes. And if you add that up, that equals every 10 months the equivalent of the island of Manhattan. So it's a lot of land. There are hundreds of square miles of land have been lost just in the last 40 years. That actually can be fixed. And there is a $14 billion plan to do that. Ironically, $500 million of that, the first time this year, a few months ago, Louisiana got $500 million to start to address that problem in a serious way.
Uh-huh.
Rather a bit too late. You could also raise, but that will recreate a buffer zone that without it, New Orleans is going to be increasingly vulnerable. In fact, unless you address that issue, it's ridiculous to rebuild the city because it will only become increasingly vulnerable to hurricanes and increasingly isolated. But assuming you do address that issue, and I think, it, as I said, they had already just started to address it this year anyway, you can certainly protect the city against a Category 5 storm with a levee system, which would in perhaps cost $2.5 billion. You know, compared to what we're spending now, that's dirt cheap. Now, what do you get for that money if you don't, you know, forget the fact that it's my home and that many people have called it the soul of America and the music and the culture and everything else? And just on a cost-benefit basis, you know, you get infinitely cheaper shipping on exports, particularly agricultural exports and other commodities that go out the port, that without that cheap freight, they'd find great difficulty to compete on the world market. And you get the benefits of all this energy production in the Gulf, and infrastructure that could be rebuilt and put somewhere else, but would cost tens of billions of dollars to rebuild and put somewhere else.
Mm. John Barry is many things, but he is also the author of 5 books. And we talked to him today about his book, Rising Tide, The Great Mississippi Flood of 1927 and How It Changed America. John Barry, thanks for taking some time with us this weekend.
Well, thanks for having me on. Louisiana. Louisiana. They're trying to wash us.